Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Acts, where we've begun to see how the Lord was leading Paul into his next missionary journey. And now as we turn to Acts chapter 16, verse 11, we pick up with our lesson with part one of the unexpected ministry as the Apostle Paul leads his team into the area of Philippi, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
If you've been with us, you'll remember that in our previous study, Paul and his team, those men that were traveling with him and ministering with him, they were seeking direction from the Lord. They were looking to go into certain regions, and yet, through whatever means we're not told, the Holy Spirit was hindering them. Not because the Holy Spirit didn't want to do something in those particular places, but evidently it just wasn't the right timing for Paul. And perhaps also God had someone else that he wanted to send. But as Paul was perplexed by this and really wondering what the Lord had in mind, he had a vision. And in that vision, he saw a Macedonian man. And this man in Macedonia was crying out for help, asking for some to come over and help them. Now, up until this point, Paul had ministered from the area of Jerusalem up through Syria and then all around through what was known as Asia Minor. But he evidently had not really contemplated even crossing over the Adriatic into what would be known today technically as Europe. Of course, then it was all part of the Roman Empire and there wouldn't have been that great distinction, but it certainly was a different part of the world, and it was the center of Greek civilization and Greek history and all those things. And so Paul has this vision of this man from Macedonia, and so he and the men that were with him, they concluded, based on the vision, that God was calling them to cross over and to seek out ministry opportunities in that part of the world. And so in verse 11, it says, "Therefore, sailing from Troas," that's where they left from, "they ran a straight course to Samothrace," which would have been an island about halfway between Troas and the mainland there that they were destined for. And so the next day they came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And they stayed in the city there for some days. And so they arrived in Philippi. They're following what they believe to be the Lord's calling. And perhaps it was here that Paul was really beginning to understand that the Lord was calling him to really take the gospel into areas that had not yet received it. And that's how Paul did see himself as he grew and developed in his ministry. He saw himself really as a pioneer, as someone who was going into new places. He actually said that that was his ambition, to go where Christ had not been preached before. He wanted to go and just break new ground. What an adventurer Paul was. He was a man who wanted to go into new cultures and meet new people and get the gospel message to them. And so they arrive now in the city of Philippi. Now, it says here that Philippi was a colony. Now, the Romans, of course, dominated the world at the time. But the Romans, as they would go into a particular region, they would allow certain elements of the culture and even the religions and things to pretty much remain the same. But there were certain places where they would set up colonies. And a colony was basically a miniature Rome, is what a colony was. And they would send into the area, they would send military men who were veterans and retired. They would go in and they would know Roman law and Roman culture and all of those things. And they would go in and they would establish in a particular place, a strategic place, they would establish a little Roman center. And that was all just to remind the people who was boss. It was really there to just, you know, keep everybody with that keen awareness that the Roman authority was watching over everything that was going on. And so Philippi was a colony. Now, if you happened to be a Roman citizen and you lived in Philippi, you were a celebrity. You were a person who was a favored person. And so it was a great place to be if you happened to be a Roman. So that's the place that they ended up in, there in Philippi. And remember, there was a vision of a man that was calling out for help. Now, Paul had this habit of going to the Jewish people first. Paul was himself a Jew, of course, and he was under the firm conviction that the gospel was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. So he was in the habit of going into a place and beginning his ministry in a synagogue. But interestingly, evidently, there was no synagogue in Philippi. And that's quite amazing because the Jews were, of course, scattered throughout all of the world at the time. And in order for a synagogue to be established, you needed to have 10 Jewish men in any community. So because there was no synagogue in Philippi, that seems to imply that there were not 10 Jewish men in the city. And so that was a bit unusual that you didn't find much of a Jewish community there because, as I said, the Jews were pretty much scattered throughout the entire Roman Empire. So Paul is going now into this Gentile-dominated environment. And that's okay for Paul because you remember he grew up in Tarsus. He himself has Roman citizenship. Although he's a Jew ethnically and religiously, yet he also has a keen understanding of the Roman mindset and the Greek culture and all of those kinds of things. So on the Sabbath day, because there was no synagogue, they went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. So if there were not 10 Jews in a city, and if there was no synagogue, then they would seek a place to meet for prayer, and they would seek a pleasant place, and here they sought a place out by the riverside. Now, to the Jewish people, water was very important. Running water was very important. So many of their rituals and things had to do with bathing and cleansing and so forth. So they probably would go down by the river to have access to that water to ceremonially cleanse themselves. But they would go and they would spend time on the Sabbath day there in prayer. And so Luke is recording this now. He says, "And we sat down and we spoke to the women who met there." So again, it doesn't really appear that there were many Jewish men around, but there were some women that were meeting there for prayer. And so they spoke to these women. "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God." Now, Thyatira, of course, is back across where Paul had come from, and in that region of Asia Minor. Thyatira was there. And the woman was a native of Thyatira, but she was a businesswoman. She sold purple, and that was a lucrative business in those days. And so she was probably fairly wealthy, and she had set up her business here in Philippi. But she was a believer in the Lord. She was probably Jewish. We don't know that she was for sure, but she probably was. But she had a faith in the Lord, and as Paul sat there ministering and sharing, it says, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. The Lord opened her heart. You know, that is something that needs to happen with every person that we talk to. The Lord needs to open a person's heart. And that's why it's so important to pray for people. That's why it's important to pray for our loved ones, and it's important to pray for our friends and our acquaintances, to pray that their hearts would be pliable, that they would be softened, so that when the word does come to them, there's a receptivity. That's why it's important when we have opportunities to speak to people about the Lord, that even as we're speaking to them, we be praying, Lord, open their mind. Lord, soften their heart. Lord, give them the ability to receive. Because remember, Jesus told us that when the word is going out, the devil is trying to counter what God is wanting to do. Remember the parable that Jesus communicated that in, the parable of the sower, where the sower goes out and he sows the seed. He was speaking of himself, the Son of Man. He's sowing the word of God. And as the word of God is being sown, he said, some falls by the wayside, and the birds of the air come and snatch it up. And then Jesus gave us the interpretation of that. He said, when the word goes out and falls on a hardened heart, immediately the devil comes and snatches up the word before it has the opportunity to take root. And so that's why it's so important to pray for people, to just keep praying for them. And then when we have those opportunities, to be praying for them as well, that God would really open their hearts. So the Lord opened the heart of Lydia to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And so she persuaded us. So Luke doesn't give us all the details. Evidently, there was a bit of time that passed, and her household was able to hear the message, and each and every one of them embraced the Lord, and they were baptized. And then this delegation, this team that Paul had, they were invited to come and stay in the home of Lydia. So she was going to take care of them. Now, here's an interesting thing. This is the beginning of the church in Philippi. In our New Testament, of course, we have the letter to the Philippians. That is to the church in Philippi. Well, the church in Philippi got its start in the home of Lydia. That's been a common means of getting churches started. Home fellowships, home groups, just opening up one's house to have someone come in and share the Bible. And I'll tell you, many Calvary chapels have been started that way. And that's the model that we have right here for us in the scripture. And it started with this one person. Lydia was just one person. But Lydia said to the apostles, come and stay in my home. And no doubt when they came, they began to share and to minister the word in her house. And more people began to come. And that was how the church got started. And so you see, as one person, you can make a tremendous difference. You could do something like open your house. Or you can make some sort of a contribution and say, you know, we need to have a study here. I want to make a contribution so we can rent this community center or something like that. Little things like that are the very foundational things of how ministry begins and develops and progresses. And we need to understand that there's no contribution that's insignificant. And so this woman, I doubt that at this time she actually thought, okay, we're going to plant a church through my home here. But just her hospitality, her thankfulness for the salvation and the ambassadors that had brought the message to her, she was so thankful. She just invited them in. But then as a result, the church was birthed there in Philippi. And so it happened, verse 16, as we went to prayer. So again, some time has passed. They're residing there in Philippi. But once again, they're going to prayer. And a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Now, this term spirit of divination, a literal translation, is that this slave girl was possessed with a python spirit. Now, in Greek mythology, you had the story of Apollo and the story of how this python was the guardian to the temple of Apollo and to the Delphic oracle. Now, of course, this was all mythological, but beyond mythological, it was all very demonic. And this particular young woman was actually possessed by this spirit. And that was a common thing at the time. There were many young women who were devotees to this python spirit. They were known as the Pythonese. And they were able, as it says here, to fortune tell. They had a clairvoyance sort of a thing going. And so that's what's happening with this girl and her masters. They made much profit off of her. She was very young. The implication in the language, too, is that she was a very young girl. So who knows? She could have been 10, 12, 13 years old. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." So she's following them around, and she's crying out, "These are the servants of the Most High God. Listen to them. They're telling us the way of salvation." Now, you would think, well, hey, that's all right. She was advertising. She was helping out in the campaign. But notice, Paul didn't feel that way. And this she did for many days, but Paul greatly annoyed. Paul was greatly irritated by this. Turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Now, why is it that Paul would have reacted this way to this situation? Why was it that Paul did not want this kind of publicity? Well, first of all, this term that she used, the Most High God, was also used of Zeus. And so there would not have necessarily been any clear distinction in the thinking of the people. When she said, "These men are servants of the Most High God," many of the people might have thought they're the servants of Zeus. But also, even Yahweh, the God of Israel, was known among some Greeks as being synonymous with Zeus. Much like today, we have many people who are under the false impression that Allah is the same as the God of the Bible. But yet we who are Christians know that that is not true at all. The Allah of the Quran is not remotely related to the Yahweh of the Bible. And so there would not have been the kind of clarity. She wasn't necessarily talking about the Most High God that we know, the God Yahweh, and about his son, Jesus Christ. And of course, Paul would not want at all for anyone to think that what he was proclaiming had any association with who this woman was and the kinds of things that she would have been known for. Paul wanted there to be a clear distinction between this occultic thing that was going on and what they were proclaiming. He wanted no confusion whatsoever. So he did not allow it to continue. But finally, obviously, he was prompted by the Spirit to then deal with it, and immediately the young woman was delivered from demonic possession. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. They didn't have any concern for the young woman. The fact that she had been under the control of this demonic spirit. And demon possession is not a pleasant thing. And those who have dabbled in the occult and those who have gone into that sort of thing, they can tell you firsthand of the dark, dark side of all of that. So here's a woman who, yes, she could tell fortunes and make them money, but she obviously lived in torment herself personally because of the demon possession. And now she's liberated from that. But these guys, they don't care about that. They don't care about her. All they know is that, hey, our cash cow is it's gone. You know, we're not going to be making money anymore. And you know, as the scripture says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And it's amazing today as well. Nothing's changed at all to see how many things people do, evil, wicked things, in the end, they do it for the money. It's all about money. You think of the whole pornography industry and all of that, and all of these young women and young men and their lives and the destructive nature of that whole thing. And then you think of these people behind the scenes who are manipulating the whole thing, and they're doing it all for the money. I remember when the war first broke out, and you know, people were seeking to send Bibles and things of that nature over to the troops to encourage them. And I remember reading about a certain pornography company that was sending videos over to the troops as well. And you know, some people spoke up and said, look, you know, this is a Muslim country, and the Muslims are already hostile toward the West because they think of us in those terms of perversity and all of that sort of thing. And, you know, this person wrote to the president of this particular pornography company and basically said, you know, please don't do this. And the guy wrote back and, you know, said, I'm going to do it because I've got the freedom to do it, and that's what America is all about. It's all about free speech and freedom to do what we want to do, and I'm just going to demonstrate my support for America by exercising my right to free speech, and I'm going to send these over. And, of course, he was going to make some money on it as well. And that's so often the very thing behind the scenes. The whole drug trade and that whole world of destruction and misery and death and all of those things. And, you know, these big drug lords and the cartels in South America and, you know, even in our own communities. People living high and, you know, life in the fast lane and all, and it's because of their drug dealing and all the lives they're destroying. But it's all about money. Caring nothing for the people that they're actually in the process of destroying. And so that was the situation here. But they brought them to the magistrates and they said, now notice, they come as though they're concerned about other issues, but the real issue was they were going to lose their income. So they bring these men and they say, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us being Romans to receive or observe. So they come and they know, of course, that if they were to say, you know, we had this girl, she was fortune telling for us and they cast the spirit out of her and now we're out of business. Who was going to listen to that? But they come with this concocted story, you know, that they're concerned about Roman law. They're concerned about these Jews violating the laws of the land and so forth. You know, it's like these people you hear today. Oh, you know, we can't have people speaking in public schools about Jesus Christ. Of course, that would be a violation of the First Amendment. And we, you know, the church and state clause, we want to keep those laws. We respect the Constitution. And that's what, no, we're not against God at all. We're not against Jesus. We just are defending the Constitution. Nonsense. Absolutely ridiculous. They're not defending the Constitution. They've distorted it in the first place. They hate God. They don't want anybody to hear about God. The last thing they want is for young people to hear about God because they want to bring them into their worldview and their mentality and into their way of thinking to control and manipulate and everything else. So my point is this, the world hasn't changed any, has it? The Bible is very relevant today because the things we're reading about here are the very things that are going on right in our own world.
We'll continue with more of our study of the Acts of the Apostles in our next lesson as we follow the imprisonment of Paul and Silas. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Unexpected Ministry. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3128. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.